Welcome to Fallen Woman. Tonight's episode was previously recorded, and now as I sit here recording this intro, we are living with a brand new president as of this morning. I feel compelled to say to anyone listening that rape, misogyny, homophobia, and xenophobia are not just words, and certainly not a joke. Sadly, I feel our country has become a joke, as we have just elected someone who represents all of these things. Permitting this bully to run at all was an insult. The vote only seems to allow the powers that be to blame us, the people, for them giving this monster the chance to be anywhere near the office. I'm rolling up my sleeves and putting on my fighting boots, no matter what happens. Now more than ever, please go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge and help keep independent radio alive. And again, welcome to Fallen Woman. You are listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn. I am here with Gabrielle St. Evenson.
Hello.
Hello. Faux Pas Lafay.
Hi, everybody.
And Aurora North.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Good Thanks to for be being here. Here today.
Thanks for having us.
I thought it'd be fun to continue what we were already just talking about, the fascinating lineage of day jobs that we acquire as performers. Yes?
Let's do that. Let's divulge the complete resume.
Let's start with you, Fo.
Oh, okay. Are we just listing our resume that we can remember? Is that what we're doing? Okay. My first job, we were stationed in Alaska, and I mowed lawns one summer with real rotary mowers that, like, you know, were just blades that turned.
Oh.
And I was a janitor for health clubs one summer.
Mm.
I worked at an airport waxing and washing helicopters. I wouldn't recommend it in the Houston, Texas.
That's really unusual.
I worked at a fast food restaurant for 3 weeks called Wiener Schnitzel, and I decided that was not for me.
Somehow related to the bathroom job.
Somehow.
I remember that chain.
Through high school, I worked at a movie theater. I was an assistant manager of a movie theater by the time I graduated. And then in college grad school, I taught a lot of dance, delivered crappy pizzas. And then as an adult, I've done everything from teach college and kinesiology at college dance programs to doing professional dom work, 1-900 sex work. I have a professional dance company now.
When you say 1-900 sex work,
right.
You mean the... Like
sex phone lines, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sex phone lines.
Mm-hmm.
Acting.
Oh, big time. Yes.
No, but yeah, that was my gateway into the sex work industry.
Me too.
Right, I think because it's sort of like, you know, it's maybe a safer or a step first. Maybe it's probably the gateway for a lot of people. But
I think I was like 20 when I did that.
That was my first step.
2 years, yeah, like 40 hours a week.
Into
wow.
that.
Wow. Really good.
You
into
were
the
rocking
minds
it.
Of men at that point.
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much my, as much as I can remember.
And your current.
Oh, and I am a Pilates practitioner and Thai yoga massage therapist, as well as a nightlife performer here in the city.
Fantastic. I have to ask though, when you made the transition, for me, when I made the transition from phone sex to full-on stripper on the pole, it was very, I felt very trepidatious at first because I had been listening to what goes on inside their heads for so long, and now I'm like in a room full of them. Mm. And it was intimidating at first because I felt like I was almost like I knew too much.
Mm, no,
it would
have
been more
true.
Blissful if I had felt more trusting, but I already knew too much.
Mm. Yeah, I think what was interesting for me was my first my first crossover was actually taking my certified massage work, and I was doing erotic massage. And I still found that many of the men I worked with in person were pretty bold in person in massage sessions, like they were on the phone about possibly crossing boundaries or pre-negotiated things. I was so shocked when I took my personal interest and expertise for kink, because in dungeons, they would sound that way when they were negotiating the sessions, but they were mostly terrified when they showed up in person.
Yeah.
So not only did I enjoy that work, I enjoyed that aspect of the work, that somehow in that environment,
yes,
they left that part of themselves, they couldn't bring it in there,
mm-hmm,
which one felt safer, but also I guess that aspect was, it's enjoyable and you relish that, as opposed to feeling like you have to keep the armor on during your job.
Yeah.
I felt much more in control in those professional situations. Yeah.
Well, I think that we should just bring torture chambers straight to the strip club. That would fix that, right? One wrong move to the rack and $20.
And you've had quite the colorful medley of day jobs, haven't you, Gab?
You know, not as varied. I started off working at record companies. When I was like 10, I went to summer camp and I hated it. And I lied about my age.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually took a job as a receptionist, telling them that I was 15. I was like 11 or something, but I looked older, and they thought I just looked like a very young 14 or something. They just let me do it. I was bold enough, and I could answer the phone, and I could handle it. And then someone found out that I was like 10 years old. And I didn't want to be around children. It was my most Capricornian moment, and it's been downhill ever since. And then I worked at Island Records and Capitol Records. I worked as a temp. I worked at Pfizer. I was a personal assistant for really crazy people, which is strangely liberating.
Didn't you have like a crazy clown boss?
Well then, after I got completely burnt out on temping, I took a job as the office manager of a clown company.
Mm-hmm.
The sitcom is coming. It was a dark time in my life, but I learned a lot, and I self-actualized.
It was a dark time in your life? I didn't, because you have so many funny stories from that.
Comedy is tragedy over time. That's the formula.
Yeah.
No, of course there were funny moments. Funny people. They're funny because they're you know, horrified. John Oliver's funny because the world is a mess.
Right.
You know, right. We were just watching John Oliver. That's why I happened to mention him and not a million other people. What else? And then I decided to throw parties and actually make a business out of my band. And I actually toured and did some stuff like that with a band called St. Eve. And then I started doing some video editing. So I still do that, video editing, voiceovers. And probably my most colorful voiceover job, I now do PSAs for New York City and very conservative sort of things. But for a while, I actually worked for Playgirl, and I had to actually write the material because they would send me whole porn scripts for 20 minutes.
I did a couple with you.
Yes, because I would have to do like 20 a month. And after a while, there are only so many voices that actually work, because it can sound like this in porn. But that would be weird. And I probably did it once, just because, you know, after a while, why not?
She had me come in and do a couple of her voices. So.
But then I started hiring my friends, but I'd have to actually write these things. And, you know, a man sees a woman. The woman sees the man. They walk toward each other. They make love. What do you say? Really, what do you say? Like, you know, and it's every month. And then I had to translate them into Spanish, which is a whole other thing. So yeah, I do VO in
Spanish.
Didn't I do
a Spanish accent? I
don't know.
Something.
Whatever you did it well.
Oh,
that's
you.
All. But I didn't have you speak
sex
Spanish.
Pass coming in handy.
Absolutely, you know, and just you know, you say all kinds of things. Because what, you know, are you lying? It's like, we're really Martians. You know, basically, as I was telling them earlier, my fantasy was that people would watch these for the stories.
Wow.
So there. And so now I just...
I remember it was very super softcore.
Well, not exactly. It was what was called double X. Triple X is when you see the cum. So double X is where you see insertion, you see all the stuff. There's cunnilingus, there's fellatio, there's all that stuff. But it was beautifully shot and they kissed at the end.
Very glossy, yeah.
It was very glossy, but it wasn't soft in the sense of what they showed, with the exception of actual ejaculation. That's triple X. These are actual terms. These mm-hmm. are specific terms.
I did not know that about the cum.
Yes, and because they didn't have triple X, they could be on cable provided it was erotica, and because I would create these stories, it made it erotica. So they managed to put this stuff on cable. But really, it was a writing job. And I'm writing to this day, and I'm probably going to be putting out that Clown Co. Sitcom soon. You'll be getting a call.
And Aurora, where has life led you down the primrose day job path?
Certainly, I don't think as colorful. But, I mean, I had the typical first jobs of newspaper route, and...
You had a newspaper route?
I did. That was my very first
that's
job.
That's so cute.
You make an adorable newsboy. We did that gig.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah. That was my inspiration. And cashier at a grocery store, cashier at a liquor store.
They trusted you with money.
They did. They shouldn't have trusted me at that liquor store. I was too young, and I didn't know what to do in the situation when...
They say that's one of the most dangerous jobs, too.
And it was also a liquor... It wasn't... So in Ontario, there's a liquor control board where you have to buy your liquor at specific stores, not just like... you can't get beer at a grocery store, for instance. And this particular one was this tiny, tiny liquor store in the back of a convenience store and in the middle of nowhere. So we had a lot of country folk come in where, you know, to pass the time.
Truckers.
Yeah, pass the time, that's what you do is you drink. And there was a time where I thought I was going to be in deep shit because someone came in who was wasted and I didn't know what to do and didn't feel comfortable saying
no.
You
were alone?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so I gave him the beer and he left and I got severely scolded because, you know, the company can be liable for that. But so that was not an enjoyable job, mostly because I was too young to know to make solid judgments.
Yeah.
I did a brief bout of soliciting people on the phone to buy, you know, the like vacation.
Telemarketing,
like come in,
kind of
telemarketing, like come in.
Timeshares?
Was it timeshares? I think it probably was. Yeah, like you can win a vacation, but you have to come in to hear our spiel and enter the lottery, but you'll leave with this package. I did that for 2 days, and I was like, fuck this. It's not worth it.
You're a dancer, for crying out loud.
Yeah, these are the things you have to do.
You can't mime on the phone.
No. No. What else? One of my favorites, which was terrifying at first, was when I first moved to Toronto, coming from a tiny town, I got a summer job working for one of those bus tours that tour around the city.
Uh-huh.
And this was my first summer in the city. I didn't know squat about Toronto, but I kind of learned as I went.
Uh-huh.
And would go on other people's tours. It was pretty freeform at the time. I mean, the routes were set,
free
but...
Freeform.
Well, the bus's routes... the bus routes were set, but, I mean, you could... So I learned from other tour guides. Also, half of the people that would come on these tours didn't speak English, so would try and ask you where to go or, you know, haggle money prices, and I had no fucking idea. But it was really fun, because that's how I got to know the city.
Right.
What else?
What about when you moved to the city? What have you done here?
Well, here, I mean, my first job when I got here was... the job I still have, which is working at a physical therapy clinic, which I still really love. I think it's a great marriage to our performance work. But I did briefly work at a yoga/spin studio, which is the most fucked up combination.
Do you end up a pretzel?
I don't. they
spinning yoga. What?
What? They literally had a class. Like, take 20 minutes of spinning and then come take 20 minutes of yoga right after. I guess it was their way to decompress after spin.
Yeah,
but
And then you do Pilates and
yeah.
Well, believe it or not, I there was a time in my life where I was literally selling knives door to door.
Oh my god! I was gonna do that for a second.
And look at you now.
The company was called Cutco.
What was your demo velocity? What did you do with those knives on their doorstep?
Oh, I wish you did what I
thought. If anyone's coming on to
this, it's what drove me into phone sex. Yeah.
If anyone is tuning into the show at this moment and doesn't understand our laughter,
it's very funny.
If anyone doesn't understand our laughter right now, please just look up Velocity Child spelled C-H-Y-A-L-D-D.
Yeah.
And look up knife and,
and you'll understand.
Wow.
If they could see me now. So campaign 2016.
So when
speaking of day jobs.
So when this airs, we will have a brand shiny new president.
Oh God.
But that's not for a little while, so this is kind of weird. We're in the future.
So you will have already done or not done everything we talk about.
Well.
So when you hear this, you will reflect back on your choices.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this episode's going to air November 10th.
Ah.
So
just after.
That'll be interesting.
It'll be fun.
A little post-Halloween.
I know.
Madness.
Post-Halloween scare.
Mm.
They'll be on the third recount by then.
Oh, no.
I told you I know how to torture people.
Yeah. When are they launching Trump TV?
Do
we know?
No, that's really a thing.
Yeah, of course it is.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah. What else is he going to do? Be president?
Dude, if he's like president, can you imagine he's going to be doing Trump TV at the same time?
He'll do Trump TV regardless.
Yeah, that's really disturbing.
I just figured that I can trust Hillary to rig the election and we'll be okay. No matter what. Just, you know.
People are talking about defecting to Canada.
How do you feel about that?
Not very positively,
Aurora?
I know.
We show up like zombies at your door. And your family.
It will happen. No,
I'm already married.
Well, it's hard enough. I mean, we're just going through, Fo and I are just going through the green card process right now for me to stay here. And I haven't gotten it yet. We'll have our interview in a few months. But I'm really disheartened at the fact that we're going to spend so much money for me to have a green card. And if this is the case, perhaps not stay here and also have to spend money to get you potentially residency in Canada. But, well, what are you going to say?
No, I'm just listening to you.
But what's disheartening about the whole thing is, I mean, I'm here because it's an amazing city as an artist. But I love and I miss Canada. And being a citizen there, that all these people who have no former connection to Canada are just saying, well, no matter what, I mean, if he wins, I'm out. And, of course, that's the first option to go to where you had no interest, perhaps, in the past to ever visit or, I don't know.
Right.
I think one thing that may assuage your fear is people who say that sort of thing with no plan.
And they won't, actually.
Probably can't figure out how to get a Greyhound bus ticket.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, I was telling you the other night, and rarely do I post things in these discussions online. I try to stay out of it. But I literally feel this way. And it's very specific. I'm talking about, I mean, because obviously you're not hearing any Trump supporters say, if Hillary wins, I'm going to Canada. We know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is generally, and again, but most of the people I hear this from, they are either, they sound like they're begrudgingly voting for Hillary with the lesser of two evils thing, or they're going to stay home or write in Bernie or vote for a third party candidate. Now, what I would say to you is, being someone who has vested interest for certain reasons, I am a trans woman, I am a lesbian, my wife is a Canadian citizen, we have family there. I was censored. I support Hillary Clinton in this election, and you can support whoever you want. I would just say this. So what I would say is, if you were not from a marginalized population, and to give you a specific, if the very real consequence of Trump winning and he's stated what he wants to do with the Supreme Court means my marriage as a woman to another woman could be nulled, my benefits as a trans person could be affected greatly, my ability to work, to even function in public, and the ability of my wife, who is here legally working and paying taxes, which that president would not have done, and they're still president, all of that is a real factor, and there are many people of marginalized and minority populations who would be directly affected. If you are not one of these, and you stay home or don't vote for Hillary Clinton or to keep Trump out of office, if you come from a population that is not affected by this and you don't know what it's like to be a minority, as far as going to Canada, get the fuck in line behind all of us. That's what I have to say to you. Sorry.
Well, it's just really privileged thinking that, I mean, I know that these people are just saying this because they might not actually mean it, or it's just the easiest option. It's not an easy option, but
they're just disgusting.
Also, Mother sure. B, Mother B is waiting for us.
Mother B. My mom.
Aww. Well, I loved what you said about Hillary and that legislation that she passed.
Oh, well, I mean, this isn't something I would expect lots of people to know, but when she was Secretary of State, she did a lot of meetings with the staff, because the staff in a lot of these Washington buildings, they leapfrog or transcend administrations. They're not appointed, and they, you know, like everyone else. So you can work for the State Department and go through several presidencies, whether you agree with them or not. Right. You're an employee there. And some of these people are stationed all over the world. When Hillary Clinton became Secretary of State, as recently as that, their policies were that same-sex partners, if you were stationed overseas, they paid for their partner to go, opposite sex. Mm-hmm. But they did not pay for same-sex partners to do the same traveling, for the same benefits. She met with groups within the State Department. She changed that right away. The other thing she did, which is of great significance for trans people, is she went in, because Secretary of State can do this, and she changed the policy whereby you don't have to have completed your transition to change your gender marker on your passport. So since I am under the legal care of a doctor, all I have to have is a letter that says I'm undergoing any kind. I don't have to plan on having certain surgeries. I just have to say a doctor has stated, I'm seeing this doctor as my practitioner. They verify my gender. So I am legally a woman on my passport. So she did that knowing it helps you function. I'm voting as a woman.
It protects you against discrimination.
And so that she did single-handedly. And the reason it wasn't publicized is she didn't want backlash or Republican opposition trying to thwart it. And she didn't have to get a vote in Congress because it's not a law. It's a State Department policy. So one thing I would say is I hope and doubt it happens. But if you're a trans person and haven't changed your passport, do it now, because Trump will appoint the Secretary of State who could just change that rule the day after. These are things she's done and not made a big a deal about it.
That many people don't actually know.
And it's not because she's hiding it. It's because she knows, why would I want to stir up the opposition when I'm trying to help certain people? So, of course, there's criticisms of her and anyone.
She didn't want to wave the red flag in front of the bull.
Because she's a Scorpio.
So, I mean, if you want to ask me, see, I'm not voting for her because it's not the lesser of two evils. I actually support her. If you don't, fine. I mean, I'm not saying she's perfect, but I actually support her and believe in her as president. I think she's qualified. If you're someone who's on the fence, all I'm saying is, you know, with the two choices before you, if you are not a Trump supporter, I don't want to waste all the radio time, but just look at some historical facts and data about how effective not voting or a third party candidate vote is. The fact part. And tell me if that is not a wasted vote. Because it's not my opinion. It's a wasted vote. And I'll give the floor to someone else.
So about happy November 10th, everybody.
Yeah, happy November 10th.
And we're here celebrating Hillary's win in the election.
We are, because she's a winner in our hearts. Mm-hmm.
So we were going to talk about...
Did you want to talk about Hillary being a Scorpio?
No, it was a joke.
Okay. Just to say.
Because it's true, she is a Scorpio. Ah. But it answered so many questions like that. That's such a Scorpio move.
Well, we had an even more... We had an even more controversial topic, which is the remake of...
Reimagining. I love that they're calling it that. The reimagining of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
It's like they reimagined Manhattan, and now Long Island City, and the edge of Brooklyn.
God, reimagining.
That's like a cleaner, yuppier.
for taking something and... searing all the magic right out of it.
It was too clean, we said.
Very clean. Yeah.
They cleaned up the dialogue. They changed lines in the song because they were considered offensive.
No,
that's exactly why they were good.
It was horrible.
I don't understand how it's primetime family entertainment in the first place.
Oh my God, it just should never be.
Maybe they'll do Debbie Does Dallas next. Just, you know,
maybe they'll make,
say this though.
They'll make Shallow
Throat. Riff Raff and Columbia were redeemed.
I'm sorry, what were you saying, Columbia?
Columbia and Riff Raff were the only redeeming things in the reimagining.
Nothing in that show is supposed to be redeeming.
Right. I just felt Janet was as sexy as a pencil. I felt like, first off, the mullet. What the fuck? Dr. Frankenfurter is supposed to be a mad fucking scientist. That hair does not need to be in control. It needs to be a little out of control. And I almost felt that the mullet that they fitted Dr. Frankenfurter with was in direct correlation with the way they approached the entire reimagining. They took all the chaos out and instilled a bunch of very tame, excruciatingly safe control.
Well, they took something that was never meant to be mainstream.
And made it so.
And they tried to make it that. Oh. Because you don't... I mean, they didn't know it would become what it became when they made it. You don't have a formula for making a cult classic revolution. Mm-hmm. It just happened because they did something... so raw and gritty and honest.
At a time when everyone was really hungry for it.
And it is spoken, and what certain things, I mean, regardless of our opinions of the failures of this reimagining, sometimes you leave it alone because what I have found being someone who, like some people,
would you reimagine Citizen Kane? Mm-hmm.
What I think is amazing is...
Only by South Park.
Or Metropolis.
Being of a generation who was alive when it came out, I see people younger of every generation who, when they've gone to the live shows and seen the original, are touched. So to me, it transcends decades or eras or from Xers to baby boomers to millennials. You don't need a new one. The original... is the only one, and you can be born 10 years ago and you see it, you know, when you're a teenager, you go see it, you're going to be affected. You don't need to change it because it has lived the way it's lived, and there are live performances and reshowings because you don't need to reimagine it. Mm-mm. Certain things don't need that. Some things do, but the whole concept of reimagining something that has had a life of its own through generations since it was put out is a flawed concept.
So many people's puberties were resoundingly affected by the original Rocky Horror. It actually made me feel dirty after seeing the reimagining. I had to run right around and watch the new one.
I saw your post.
The old one immediately to feel pure again.
I just saw little pieces of it. I just saw the catalog, the brochure. Mm. And I had to run away.
Yeah.
run away.
Oh, seriously. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for being here tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
It's been really yummy talk. I'm going to go around now and ask real quick. I always do this so our listeners can get more of you. Aurora, where would you like them to find you in cyberspace?
On Facebook, I am Aurora North, and Faux Pas and I are have a page, Faux Pas Le Fay and Aurora North.
Mm-hmm.
And our YouTube is the same, Faux Pas Le Fay and Aurora North.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. On Facebook, I'm my legal name, Ari Faye Bronson Davidson, parentheses, Faux Pas. Mm. I had a name.
It's a mouthful.
I had a name issue with Facebook before it was posh to have name issues with Facebook.
Yes.
But anyway.
They gave me shit too.
And you can find me with my lovely wife on our duet pages. You can find the dance company, Kinetic Architecture Dance Theater, at KA Dance Theater on Facebook, or kadancetheater.org is the website. We have a season in December. It's our version of Lewis Carroll's books, Alice in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass, for adult children only.
Fabulous. Gabrielle.
Still using the SaintEve.com, SaintEve.com.
Uh-huh.
And there are all the different projects, and they have their own little websites, like Eccentric Year, which is my radio show.
You also have on Radio Free Brooklyn.
On Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yeah, and when is that show?
It airs 11 p.m. on Saturdays, and maybe another time. There's a fourth season coming, and I don't know what Tom Tenney will do with it, but I think I'm keeping the 11 p.m. Saturday.
Okay.
I have no idea what the rest of it's doing. And then Mixcloud is where I throw the archives, and you can listen to the whole thing in order, just like this show.
Yeah.
Right?
I do Audio Boom.
Right, because it's a talk show.
Yes.
So Mixcloud, because my show has a little bit of his music. Oh, it's a music show. Whatever. Anyway, I do speak a little bit. But so on either Audio Boom or Mixcloud, you can listen to any Radio Free Brooklyn show in archive. And what's kind of fun is you can kind of just start it at some point and just let it go. And by now, you must have quite a few fallen women.
Oh, yes. Tonight we are recording number 38.
Ah.
Yeah.
But there's been so many two-parters lately. It's technically, I've got to be close to 50.
See?
Yeah.
So you can just live with velocity online.
That's at fallenwoman.com. You can find our lovely archives.
See, there you go.
Yes.
So.
Thank you again. Everybody, please... raise a glass.
Cheers.
Here's to Hillary.
Here's to nasty women.
Hopefully when everyone's listening to this, the nasty woman is reigning supreme.
Exactly.
Fingers nasty woman.
You were listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn. I am here with Gabrielle St. Evenson.
Hello, hello, hello.
So excited to have you here.
Always good to be here. The hostess with the mostest.
Yeah. I love what you were saying earlier about Hillary Clinton being a Scorpio.
Oh. Astrology provides me with hours of hilarity.
Yeah, you're very knowledgeable in that department.
You know, it's funny. On one hand, I love the language of astrology. I feel like it's an incredible language for discussing very subtle human situations.
Uh-huh.
It's like math, like this plus this equals this.
Yes.
There's a lot of that. At the same time, I never believe a horoscope when I see it, you know, that kind of thing. Like,
except Rob Bresny.
Rob Bresny is worth reading every single one because it
yes.
applies to all of us. He's just a good writer.
Yeah.
You know, so I take it with a grain of salt, but at the same time, I really love it, so... The personality traits are so funny and so spot on sometimes.
It's so fitting with her, though.
Yeah, like that was the thing. You know, somebody pointed out that it was her birthday, and I just thought, oh shit, she's a Scorpio. Of course. You know, just that I've always imagined during the Monica Lewinsky scandal, She handled that with a lot of grace. And all I kept thinking was, she kind of took a deep breath and thought, I think Bill would make a lovely first lady. And this whole campaign, both of them, right?
Yeah.
Is all about her just being able to turn to Bill one time and say, just be a little lady about this and we'll be just fine.
Yes.
That's it. And he'll just smile and know that she won't do it again because they're good friends and it's all good. Uh-huh. But, like, Scorpios have that tenacity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they're just going to wait and wait and wait.
Oh, yes. We bide our time.
And then... This is all about that.
Checkmate.
You know. Yeah, like, I'm not going to just find a cute intern lover or divorce you. I'm going to make you my first lady.
Yes.
You know, she went deep.
But yeah, my number one girl.
So there, that's my opinion. This is the real driving force. And then she'll just do all kinds of Bernie Sanders shit, right?
Right.
She won't pander to the corporations.
Oh, God.
No.
And you're writing a sitcom.
I am. Yeah. There's a lot of material that keeps surfacing because the core material is so incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But then what's really fun is taking it and taking those characters and making amalgams between the actual people I worked with and all the people I've met since then, because at this point it was a long time ago. I won't even say how long, but it was okay. A long time ago. And some of these memories are so vivid, but to reimagine the workplace of working for a clown company that sent performers to people's homes primarily.
Right.
And sometimes singing telegrams and to offices and to corporate gigs and stuff. But there are so many variations of what can happen to you in New York City when you're trying to make it as a performer and make your living out of it doing day-to-day stuff, and it's so unglamorous. And also, at this point, mixing in burlesque, which wasn't a part of it then.
Right.
But has become such a... I was so influenced by this job that to make an amalgam of all these experiences, to make a kind of, you know, surreal and intense version of what it would be like to work at a performance company with very broken people.
Right.
Because that's really what makes it fun, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, and what could possibly go wrong? But it was the 90s, and so I would have to update a lot of things as well.
Or you wouldn't set it in the 90s?
No, because I don't have the budget right now.
Mm.
So it would mean the clothes... It's so subtle, but you would notice.
You'd notice,
you know? The clothing, the cars, the
music.
Music would be the easy part.
Mm.
That's fine. It's more just like when you're shooting around town.
Right.
It just looks so different. We had a World Trade Center that had two towers.
Right, yeah.
Just the things like that. So you'd notice it in the background, it would drive you crazy. And things like people not having cell phones. So you had to resort to pay phones. Things like that. Only very wealthy people had something like a cell phone.
And answering machines.
Yeah, and so you can still use a lot of those tropes. All you have to do is lose your phone to then have to deal with communicating without it,
right.
Including using a payphone, which would be even funnier now, because they exist, but they're very bizarre. Uh-huh.
You're about to have life on a boat.
Oh, God.
That's something kind of kinky about that.
Yeah. Yeah, life in motion.
Life in motion.
Yeah. Yeah, time in the Lower East. I've been living in this city for a very long time. I moved here for college and never left.
Uh-huh.
And for a while...
You're not moving far away.
It's not far. No.
You'll be on the other side of the water for...
Yeah. It's just not Manhattan, that's all.
Right.
It's just not Manhattan. And that's weird. But I'm looking forward to it. Right now, our apartment is under market. And if we were to move, it would be... as much as $3,500 for a similar size space.
Uh-huh.
Even in Brooklyn or Queens or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And then And then if we just tried to match our current rent, we would be in a very tiny, tiny place, which is very sad.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we could do that. Or we could move really far. So what else can we do?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, let's just buy a boat. So we could either buy our apartment.
It's basically Manhattan's answer to the tiny house movement.
You know, it's quite possible. Basically, our current apartment would sell for as low as $600,000.
Uh-huh.
Because right now, a one-bedroom apartment standard is about $900,000 in Manhattan. So our building tends to be a bit under market. So it could be as low as $600,000, but that's very low. It's probably going to go for something like $750,000. And when we first moved into this particular apartment 6 years ago, it was $450,000. So that gives you an idea of the kind of money that's being poured into,
mm-hmm.
into the city. It's really nuts. And so my love bought a boat for under $10,000.
Which is
not even
know.
Maintenance.
I don't even know how he found that.
Oh,
deal. That sounds...
You can always find boats. This happens to be a very well-maintained boat, but
wow.
It's an older boat.
And it comes with its own water taxi, basically.
Well, there's a ferry that goes to the docks.
No, it's a dinghy, right?
Oh, and there's a dinghy, yeah. So
it was like a little baby water cab, right?
Yeah, so in warmer months, we can actually ferry people back and forth and stuff.
How fun.
So it'll be fun. Yeah, it'll be fun. It's like a one-bedroom apartment. It's actually quite large. And it turns out that our rent over a year is something like $800 a month on average.
Jesus.
So it's like, you know, let's just try it out. And if we hate it, there's always an expensive apartment or a small apartment that we can move into. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
There's always a solution.
You know, classy.
It's classy. Our low,
and you have a view of the Statue of Liberty.
We do. Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah, it's actually
That's pretty lovely. Dope.
Yeah, so we'll make it work. We'll buy a lot of electric blankets and turn up the heat and try not to set things on fire.
Lots of onesies.
Yes, electric onesies. I'm going to look that up. I'm sure there's electric onesies.
Do they make electric onesies?
We'll look it up, and I'm sure we'll find that you're
God.
Going to.
You know me.
Mm-hmm.
I like to strike
oh, yeah, I know
time.
You.
Electric, because you know I'm a onesie whore.
Onesie whore.
I am.
Onesiehore.com. And is there an electric clothing?
The warming
I know they have it for motorcycles.
This website came up, thewarmingstore.com. The fuck is...
Oh, look at that.
X-ray highlighter onesies.
Okay, that's different.
Yeah, no, there's... I see an electric snuggie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to invest in all of that. It's the way of the future.
Wow, Daily Mail Online.
Okay.
Electric onesie to beat your aches and pains.
That's very British.
That is so British.
It's dailymail.co.uk.
The
electric onesie.
Promises,
promises to beat the aches and pains dogging your health. With pictures of Dalmatians wearing Dalmatian-themed onesies.
Oh, so that is a thing.
It's a thing.
Wow.
So we can electrify the Dalmatians. We can be Cruella de Vil in our own strange way.
In our own strange electric onesies.
And vegan onesies.
I want an electric onesie so bad right now.
Oh, just get that electric onesie. You want it so bad. Oh, just click. Find your credit card. Oh, just swipe it.
Shopping really is way too easy these days. Dangerous.
Well, you know,
before the internet,
you'd have to go somewhere.
It was rare that you would drink and shop.
Unless you go to like
you never had
Barney's.
To worry about like you know there's
these
a package. What did I order? What is this?
Oh.
It's like, oh, I ordered a bathrobe. Oops.
What a delightful bathrobe. I must have been drinking rum. Yeah. You know, Bergdorf Goodman, a friend of mine, had a gig, speaking of weird jobs, where he would pour champagne. He was a handsome young man, and he would pour champagne. And I'm sure people bought more than they may have initially thought they might.
Oh, completely.
So you're having the Bergdorf experience at home.
That's funny. Yeah, the Amazon experience. It's like, don't drink and text. You know, you don't want to drink an online shop. Oh, I found a solution for safe online shopping. If you feel itchy and you need to just do something and it's too late, just buy domain names.
I have many.
Me too, for that reason. And as a result, I got the name of this show.
Oh, yeah. Wow, yeah. Fallen Woman.
Who'd freak out? Who knew that was available?
Do you know that I have femaleerotica.com?
What?
I also have...
That was available? I'm impressed.
I also have godnyc.com.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm an ordained minister.
Oh, my God. Godnyc.com,
it's
folks.
Me. Yeah. Wow. And churchgiggles.com.
Really?
We need to do something with
it. That's such a common term. I'm amazed that someone didn't snatch that one up, too.
It was totally one of those late night, what? It's mine.
Yes, exactly. That feeling.
You have to move fast, because once you search for it, if you don't buy it, it gets bought up by, like, some robot.
Really?
Careful. Yeah, it can happen. So if you like a name, just get it. You can always drop it.
Yeah, it's like, what, $10?
It's so worthwhile.
It is.
So yeah, as an ordained minister, I've been thinking it'd be fun to do a thing called Chunch, which is
Chunch?
Church and brunch, so that you don't want to leave church to go get a Bloody Mary because it's already at your table.
Right.
And then you have to be an ordained minister in New York City, or I don't know, maybe I'll change it, or maybe do something upstate. But I like the idea of, we have so many friends who've done it for different reasons, mm-hmm. and the only rule. There are two rules. One is you can't bash another religion, and you must leave everybody feeling uplifted.
Okay.
So whatever you do, you need to leave everybody high on life.
So it's an all-denomination church.
But you can get all spiritual. You can get as oogly-boogly as you want. And, you know, you can bring in Jesus or Kalima or whoever you like. Taylor Mack, I don't know, whoever you worship.
So a room full of people drinking with mixed religious beliefs.
And you go in there and you just charge them up like God's cheerleader, the goddess's cheerleader.
Uh-huh.
Your call. And leave everybody feeling good about being alive.
And when you say you're an ordained minister, and you put that to pretty much good use, I would say, with Marry Yourself.
Yes, I have this... performance art piece that I've done many times where I marry people to themselves. Mm-hmm. And
I was your first.
You were my first and highly influential. I wrote an article about it that's published. I have to give you the book and I name check you.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. You
I was
were
honored.
You were instrumental in a key piece of it because I'd designed it and come up with the basic idea that you come in and you get treated
construct,
really well.
Yeah,
there's a construct. You get treated like a bride regardless of your gender or anything else. You get zhuzhed over and you get costuming and you get a ring and you get your vows and you fill them out and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then the actual ceremony, I was like, you know, I realize I've never tried to do this. So you were my first. I was like, will you walk me through this? What feels good? And what we came up with, because there was a big, beautiful mirror in the room, was you're marrying yourself. You should look into your own eyes. And it was so powerful for me to then take the vows that you had agreed to say. I offer multiple choice vows, which is what most people do, but of course you can bring your own. Anyway, so I said them into your ear so that you didn't need a script and you could be very immediate looking into your own eyes and actually saying your vows to yourself, not just to a witness, but having me there as a witness so that you don't suddenly answer your phone or marry the curtains because you're staring at something else. And that's how I've done it, and now I've done, I mean, well over 1,500 people.
Louise L. Hay speaks about daily affirmations frequently, and that's one of the things she talks about, is how powerful it is to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I love you. I really, really love you.
People burst into tears. It is
the most crazy emotional thing.
It's
very emotional.
The last time I did it was, I did a month at the Cosmopolitan Hotel in Las Vegas at the P3 Studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a month-long residency. And it was incredible because people were feeling completely feckless. They're totally just celebrating. Many people were terrified once they actually read the vows. But many people went through
it's such a commitment.
And I was like, it's performance art. Relax. You could make a joke out of it. You don't have to take it seriously. Or you can if you like. But don't worry. And you get to keep the ring and you get cake and you know, come on.
Yeah.
And, but we got plenty of people to do it. But part of it, which you could choose an option, is the mini divorce of past selves as something that you do before you get married to yourself.
Dude, and I could seriously use one of those. Yeah.
No worries. Let's do it. So anyone who does that always gets a better wedding. And it's basically a pot banishing ritual. Very quick, 5 minutes. But you basically take the things that are heavy on you and you release them.
Right.
And I won't give away how we do it. But I try to make it fun, but at the same time, it's rather intense. And people do take it very seriously. And it's interesting when they're not expecting it. Some people show up in wedding gowns, but most people have no idea.
Right.
And so people would suddenly burst into tears, and I'd hold them and then clean them up a little bit, and they'd be wearing their costume that looks so silly, but at the same time is so fun and truly self-expressive. Because I used no traditional wedding stuff. So you would pick, you could pick a sword for your bouquet, or you could pick a bunch of Barbies or something. You could, there are all these different things that were typical of weddings, but not turning you into a white bride.
Right.
And you could wear, you could look like, you could wear a cape, or you could wear armor, or you could wear crazy flowers in your hair. You know, there are all these things. And it was really fun for people to just take this moment, and when they looked in their eyes and said their vows, often they would burst again. And then I would hold them again and then take them out through this spiral that my friend Alexander Lyle built. Beautiful wooden chapel built like a spiral.
Oh, beautiful.
So then you would spiral in and then you'd spiral out, and so there's this whole path, and then you'd come out and you get your photo taken, you get cake, and then it was all very celebrated. Everybody in the room would cheer you. So you'd get a cheerleading thing.
Yes.
And it was so satisfying. And what was interesting is I had two people who worked the reception part of it, and they would help you get dressed and explain everything and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they never really got to go into the chapel because we were so busy. On the very last couple of days, I had them work separately, and I had each of them walk into the spiral after we'd been doing it a month. And I said, just walk in there and tell me if you feel anything. Because I knew what I felt in there.
Right.
And each one, totally separately, different days, said, oh my God, there's a weight in there. And it didn't feel bad or scary, but there was a heaviness that you would physically feel on your in your chest. It carried so much energy.
Wow.
Which may have been also the spiral design that Alex made. Mm-hmm. But also, having done hundreds of weddings at that point, where I would say 80% of the people were highly emotional.
Yeah.
And
this was in Vegas.
And this was in Las Vegas.
But I love that you did it there, too, because that's like one of the wedding capitals of the world.
And they knew it. And at the same time, the Cosmopolitan Hotel tries not to be some kind of tawdry, old Vegas kind of thing. They're trying to build a kind of new Vegas connection to art and all this stuff. And they do a really great job with the P3 studio. They have a participatory artist every month. There's definitely an intimacy when you're looking into someone's eyes and listening to them confess something, which is what happens with the little mini divorce. We called it a mini exorcism, you know, whatever, just to make it fun for people, the purge. And then also, as they looked into their eyes, and I would make sure that they weren't turning away or somehow hiding from themselves.
Right.
So I'd be like, oh, go back, marry yourself, don't marry your shoes, you know, that kind of thing, you know.
Well, thank you so much for being here today.
It is my absolute pleasure.
Yeah. And again, what is your website you'd like people to find you on?
TheSaintEve.com. And there you'll find all my projects, including Eccentric Ear, the radio show that I have here on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yes, Saturdays at 11.
Saturdays at 11, and then archived. Yeah.
I highly recommend it to you listeners out there. She has exquisite taste in music.
Plus, you know, it's the whole point of the show is it's videos for the music for the videos in your head. And so the themes are really wacky, and it's songs that you would probably recognize with a lot of songs you probably don't. And going to have Velocity on as a co-host. So.
Oh, I'd be honored.
Yeah, yeah, we should
do that
soon.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, cheers.
Cheers.
Raise a can.
Yes, I charge it with spirit in the seltzer can.
Yes. Love you.
Mwah.
Mwah.
It's a crap.
It's a crap.
It's a crap.
It's a crap.
Silence lives behind the padlock gate as a glimmer of future sparks a light bulb rattling around the brain, ceaselessly stimulated by vast ideas of change in many directions and many crossroads leading to the truth behind choice and chance, destiny and fate, bullshit, reality, desire, loss. How much does the answer cost us today? Is it sleep or sanity? Maybe it's innocence, stumbling along rebelliously happy, oblivious to the oblivion, waiting for us at the end of this fever dream, sweating out the psychedelic toxins until we arrive on our deathbeds, waiting to be born one more time, rolling the dice as if it were an after party for God. And we know that everything's perfect, even when it's his. And we're bending over for expensive answers to none of our business yet. While we tear each other apart, making everyone pay for their reality tunnel and its stubborn afterbirth of hate crime and war, power over complete strangers like an ego hand job from the church, a blessing from television, and a big fat kiss from Satan himself. My name is Velocity Child. Every Thursday at the stroke of midnight, step into the parlor of Fallen Woman, a weekly soiree of artists on the fringe with underground thoughts and voices shared with uncensored abandon through opinions, humor, candor, and songs.